in chapter 12, verse 2, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And so in this marathon that we run as Christians, I want to ask you the question, do we oftentimes feel like this guy? We're in our race, we're just tired, and we are fatigued, we are weary, and so we just kind of fall out and just give in. I think all of us probably feel like that at times. Or what about this lady? Here she is, she's prepared, she's ready to run a race, but she's holding on to her knee as if she's in pain. And so in our race, do we feel like we are pain, that we are hurt, and so therefore we cannot run the race well? I think all of us feel that way. What about this guy? He's had a pretty bad day. Now, it's either that he has not conquered that hurdle there, or somebody has gotten his way and knocked him down. And I think we all experience that as well, that there is some sin that we are just not able to conquer in our lives, or there's somebody in our lives who is just like a thorn in the flesh, and so we're kind of like this guy. But I think this last picture kind of sums it up. And oftentimes we just feel like this lady. We're just frustrated with life. We are hurt, we are fatigued, we're tired, and we just can't conquer any sin or any worldliness, and so we're just frustrated with life. Well, we've all felt like this, but there's someone else in Scripture we know that also felt like these things as well, and his name is Paul. And if you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul would talk about the sufferings that he had experienced. And if anyone had any legitimate reason to lose heart or to give up, it was Paul, because we know what he suffered. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8 and 9. He says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength, here it is, that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. So here Paul is saying, you want to know how bad I suffered? It was to the point that we thought that we were going to lose our lives. This wasn't just some little pain or some little suffering. This was serious. Their lives were threatened. But Paul not only experienced suffering, he also experienced false teachers that were slandering his character. And so throughout the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his character because these false teachers are influencing the brethren to believe that Paul is not who he says he is. And what he's doing is he is contrasting his godly character to the character of those who claim to be great in the eyes of the people. And so from Paul's sufferings to people slandering him, not to mention the various issues that he had to deal with the church at Corinth, and even beyond that, him ministering to all of God's people, Paul had legitimate reasons to lose heart. But Paul didn't lose heart. And let me just say, that's the motivation for us. And that's what I want to look at today. What motivations did Paul have in his life that allowed him to get through his adversity, that allowed him to get through his sufferings? And whatever those motivations Paul had, let's have those same motivations in our lives. Let's not lose heart like Paul and like so many others in the Bible did. And so instead of being fatigued, instead of having pain and stumbling and not being able to conquer our challenges, let's have this attitude. See that guy? His face is much different, or his attitude is much different from the previous pictures. He has grit, he has determination that he is going to cross that finish line. And so let's have that same grit and determination in our service to the Lord. So what I want to do is read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, and after that we'll go through the text and we'll make our applications. Beginning in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves,
but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to have the faith of Paul, where we do not lose heart, I think one of the first motivations that we're going to have to understand is that we have a high calling, that God has called us to a higher calling, a higher purpose. And in Paul's case, Paul had been given a ministry by the Lord. That's seen in verse 1 of chapter 4. Notice he says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God." Now, this ministry is going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where God has allowed the apostles to be people who go out and they share this great new covenant message that brings people to the light of the gospel. And Paul says, that gospel that God has entrusted to me, that personal ministry, I am here to go and to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That is what he says in verse 5. He says, "We are here to proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." And so what Paul is saying, this ministry that I have, I am here to go and to speak Jesus as Lord. And speaking Jesus as Lord meant rejecting worldly religion. That is religion that does not exalt Jesus as Lord. Notice he says in verse 2, he says, "We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunningness or tamper with God's word." And so all those sinful motives that could have corrupted Paul and corrupted his ministry, those things that are not Christ-centered, Paul says we have rejected those things because we are here to exalt and promote Jesus as Lord. That was the aim of Paul's God-given ministry. And that is one reason why Paul did not give up. But in addition to that reason, Paul also didn't give up because he understood that he had people to serve, that people were depending on him. Notice what he says in verse 5. "We proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants." Notice he says, "your servants for Jesus' sake." He says in verse 12, "So death is at work in us, but life in you," that is the believers. Verse 15, "For it is all for your sake." And so we see throughout the text, Paul is emphasizing that I didn't give up because I have people depending upon me. I have people who I have influence. And if I give up, then that means they are going to give up too. And so that was another motivation as to why Paul did not give up, because he had others depending upon him. Now, I want you to think about in your life, think about the influence that you have. And you just think about if you left the Lord or if you stopped serving him for whatever reason. Just imagine how that would impact the faith of other people, that we all have influence. And we need to remember that with that influence comes great responsibility. And so when you feel like you want to lose heart, remember who needs you. Remember the hands that need ministering to. Remember the hands that or the wounds that need binding up and healed. And remember that the Lord is counting on you to be that person who ministers to his people. And I've often, when I am tempted to go other routes, I often have to ask myself, what is this person going to do because of my faith? How is this going to affect
the people that I love, the people that have been encouraged by my faith. And that allows me to change my perspective. And it's centered on people rather than myself. But I also want to make another application, and that is, you think about this high calling that Paul had. He says, I received this by the mercy of God. And so what Paul is saying, this ministry that I have, this great responsibility, this is God's mercy to me. And he has given me this calling. I'm not just saved, but I am here to go, and I am here to speak Jesus as Lord. And that ought to be true for us, that we are here, that God has given us a personal ministry. And we are to go and we are to point people to Jesus, share his word, and share our faith with people. But we are not only to proclaim Jesus as Lord with our mouths, but we are to do it with our life. And so as Paul, he said, we don't practice any cunning behavior. We don't tamper with God's word. We need to make sure that we are living lives of integrity, that our lives are reflecting the character of Christ as it was for Paul. And perhaps if we contemplated this fact that God is giving us a high calling, that he has called us to do his work, it would help us to not lose heart, just as it did for Paul. And so that is one of Paul's motivations. One of his motivations to not give up was because he had a high calling. He had to go and proclaim Jesus, and he had people depending upon us. And those are our same motivations to not lose heart as well. But Paul gives us a second motivation in the text. The second motivation was, don't lose heart because God is at work in you, that God wants to be glorified through you. Notice in verse 10, he says this twice. He repeats the same phrase. Verse 10, he says, we are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Notice the purpose, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And so Paul's afflicted life was all about Jesus' life being manifested. It was all about people seeing Jesus when Paul was afflicted. It was all about people seeing the character of Christ when Paul was doing good. It was centered around Jesus Christ. But I think this section right here is worthy of unpacking. So what I want us to do is go through this and see how Paul came to have these two powerful statements of faith. So beginning in verse 7, and I have here on the screen, the apostles view themselves, as he says, as jars of clay. Now, if you know anything about jars of clay in the ancient times, people used these for just about everything. They used them for eating purposes. They used them to store household goods. They used them for valuable things. And so the apostles see themselves as this. But these jars of clay are not something you're going to decorate your living room with. This is not your nice, fine china. This is something that is dirty, something that is really of no great value. And this is how the apostles see themselves. But notice what Paul says in verse 7. Notice what is in these jars of clay. He says it is the gospel. And that's going back up. We know that because of what he has said. Let me grab it here. In verse 6, this is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so Paul sees himself and the apostles as these jars of clay, and God has entrusted to them this great message. Now compare jars of clay, something that has lesser value, to something that is like the gospel. We know it has intrinsic value. It is of an eternal nature. And so that means it is very significant. And so what Paul is saying is that God delights in using jars of clay, the apostles, you and me, to go out and to do his work in the world. And so in Paul's instance, as he is going to say in verse 8, when we are afflicted, when we are going through adversity, when we are going through difficult times, God wants to use those difficult times. He wants to work through us in order to display and demonstrate just how powerful he is. And so that means we don't have to be great. We don't have to be 100% in life. Everything doesn't have to be going our way, but we can still be useful to the Lord and our service to him. We see that in Paul's life. Notice what he says. Notice what he says beginning in verse. Oh, I have it up here, actually. And so he gives some words to describe his sufferings. He says, we're afflicted, we're perplexed, we're persecuted. Now I want you to think about somebody else who was all of these things. Who do you think about when you think of that? It was Jesus. I guess I was expecting y'all to answer me. That's all right. It was Jesus. We're all thinking the same thing. And so we learn about Jesus' death through the apostles. But Paul also says that we were afflicted, but we were not crushed. We were perplexed, but not despaired. We were persecuted, but not forsaken. And this is the same thing that Jesus went through, that Jesus was afflicted, but God did not forsake him. God did not leave him in that body of death. God raised him, in fact. And so what Paul is saying is that we are living out Jesus' life. We are living what he lived. And our afflictions and our adversities and our challenges, we are imitating the death of Jesus Christ in our lives. And brothers and sisters, that is powerful. That when somebody sees you're going through some challenge and some difficulty, but you're serving the Lord and you're serving his people and you're doing the Lord's work and you're not complaining and you're living what Jesus lived, what a powerful testimony to others and to the world about what we value. That we want Jesus' death to be brought into complete existence in our lives. That is where Paul was. That's where the apostles were, and that's where a lot of people throughout the Bible were. They wanted to bring Jesus' death into their lives. And may we have the same faith to do that as well. And may we also remember that, you know, we don't have to be strong or powerful or special to be useful to the Lord. That God, he works through us. He works through our adversities. And so when you're going through something, trust in God's ability to work through you in order to accomplish his purposes. I know that's not easy, and that's going to take some faith. And that's why we have God's word, and we have these wonderful examples to live by. And so that's what Paul says. He says, my first motivation to not lose heart is because I have a high calling and people were depending on me. But secondly, he says, I wanted God to be glorified in me. But Paul gives us a third motivation as to why he didn't lose heart. And let this be ours as well. And that was because the end was all worth it. And that is why we don't lose heart, because eternity is worth it. As Paul said, beginning in verse 13, he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Now, what Paul has just done, he is quoting from Psalm 116:10. And in that psalm, David is experiencing adversity. And so David, he prays to the Lord and asks God to deliver him. And God does deliver him. And I'm going to read what David has to say after God delivers him. Psalm 116, verses 8 and 9. David says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. There is David's declaration of faith when he asked God to deliver him, and God does just that. And so Paul, he is saying, he's not proof texting, he is saying the same thing that happened to David is the same thing that happened to me. The same God who delivered David is the same God who delivered me from my difficulties. And that confidence that Paul and David has is the same confidence that we need to have. But I want you to notice that their confidence was not just mere hope. It was not just some wishful thinking. Notice what it was based upon. Verse 14, see for yourself, the text tells us that knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. So you go back to Psalm 116, David's talking about his deliverance, him being raised. And then here you got Paul, he's talking about him being delivered and him being raised. And this is what our confidence stands upon. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, that proof of Jesus' resurrection is proof that God is going to also raise us from the dead and bring us into his presence. And so that promise that we have, that God has given us, that is why we do not lose heart, because eternity is worth it. And so you feel tired, you feel weary, fatigued, like you just can't conquer some sin. remember. Keep striving. When you fall, get back up and keep going. Remember that eternity is all worth it, that we're going to be with the Lord. And that's something to look forward to. And what that does is it gives us joy. It gives us purpose. It gives us optimism, even when we're not all what we want to be, even when we're not 100%. And this is what the Lord has given us. And so let's take that to heart. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 as he was talking about this idea of a race. I have it here on the screen. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." And so in this race that we run, that, hey, we're going to be like those four people that we saw up there. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to be tired. We're going to fall. But we got to pick ourselves up, and we got to run like we want it. We got to run like that guy up there, that fierceness, that determination, because we know that eternity is worth it. You know, the Hebrew writer wrote to a people who was also losing heart. And if you have your Bibles and you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll see that. But the Hebrew writer is writing to a people who are losing heart. And what he does is that he reminds them of their ultimate example and what they need to look to. And that was Jesus. That Jesus, he went through the same sufferings as they did, but Jesus didn't lose heart in those sufferings. And notice why. It's because, as he says, "Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," that's it right there, "endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And so what the Hebrew writer is saying, that Jesus knew very well what the cross meant. He understood the pain, the turmoil, and the agony. And yet, in spite of all of that, he was willing to accept all of that because he was confident of the future he knew that God had prepared for him. That Jesus, he was living in light of eternity. That he knew that it was worth it in the end. And so there is our example. We have Paul as an example, and we have Jesus as an example. And so why lose heart this week? We, brothers and sisters, we can do it. We have some wonderful motivations to serve the Lord. We have a higher calling and a higher purpose. People are depending upon us. The Lord's depending upon us to go and share our faith. But we also have eternity to look forward to. And we have God who is at work in us. And so let's remember those motivations this week when we're tired and when we're weary. Maybe there's someone tonight who wants to enter into this race, but you just haven't quite done the first step. You're not prepared. And you can get prepared tonight. Jesus died so that you could be set free from your sin. But you can only accept that grace by faith, repentance, and baptism. And once you're baptized into Christ, your sins are forgiven. You can come and join us in that race, and we can help each other run as the Lord wants us to. If that is you, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.